My brothers and sisters in the Lord, 43 years ago this Friday, the U.S. Supreme Court decided the infamous case of Roe v. Wade. On January 22, 1973, the court ruled that it was permissible to take the lives of children in the womb. My friends, it is such a long time. An entire generation, we might wonder at God's quiet when for 43 years, a true desert of waiting, our country is burdened and grown jaded over the sin of abortion. We have not only endured it as a culture, my friends, we have exalted it. We have made abortion seem necessary. We have made the direct taking of life seem right. We have made it appear merciful. It is as though we are covering our eyes and our ears over abortion, determined to justify its stain, its toxic seepage into broken hearts and broken homes. Abortion has tainted the history of our country. It brands us all. What will our generation be known for? How will we explain, my friends, what we have done and what we have failed to do? Has God been silent for 43 years, or have we been silent? We have tried to make a difference for human life. God knows our efforts. We hear in the letter to the Hebrews, and I quote, "Brothers and sisters, God is not unjust so as to overlook your work and the love you have demonstrated for his name. We earnestly desire of you to demonstrate the same eagerness for the fulfillment of hope until the end, so that you may not become sluggish." End quote. My friends, even when it seems that there is no progress, if it appears that we cannot succeed, we must be eager for the fulfillment of hope to the end. As we hear in our first reading from Nehemiah, "Do not be saddened this day, for rejoicing in the Lord must be your strength." My friends, this is truly a spiritual battle. Your sacrifices and your prayers are doing more than you could ever imagine. And so we are called, this day and every day of our life, to be witnesses to life. Many people, especially the youth, from our own parish and our own archdiocese and throughout the country, travel again and again each January to march on Washington, to march for life. But my friends, ours is not simply an annual remembrance. No day passes that we do not think of the tragic loss of life that marks us. And we do not, as some cynics claim, fail to care about the state of the world at war, or about the hatred of brothers and sisters because of race. We know firsthand about the fear of the migrant, and our charity is second to none in providing the working poor with a meal, job training for those out of prison, education in our inner city neighborhoods. From this place we call church, we champion these God-established rights and the value of every life, and we do something about it. We cannot give up, my friends, and we do not give up. This is the messy human world that Jesus embraced and for which he lays down his life. You and I, as imperfect as we are, we want to make an offering too. Today and every day, we pledge to be eager for the fulfillment of our hope to the very end. I thank you, my brothers and sisters, as a parish family, for your witness. I thank you for walking in the streets prayerfully and peacefully outside of the abortion clinic here in Metairie with zeal for life and enthusiasm for the truth about human life. How did the value of the unborn get discarded? How is it that we don't care about these tiniest and most defenseless babies? We are generous to help victims of storms and natural disasters. We are moved to action when we hear the report of violence in malls and movie theaters, and God forgive our twisted world, in schools. But right here and now, for 43 years, the Death Watch marches on powerfully. Now 50 and 60 million lives taken just in America. This disgrace flushes itself on us with poison and blood, unstopped, still protected and justified in law. A silent genocide. My friends, when society uses its judicial authority, which was established to administer justice to permit the death of the unborn, then that authority has betrayed justice and must undergo a transformation. But this transformation must take place first and foremost within the persons who administer the unjust judicial decisions. There must be a conversion of heart so that all children, born and unborn, will be loved and understood as persons who have every right to life. For you see, my friends, the perpetrators of this crime are people of all races. The consenters are of every age group and social strata. Professionals, doctors and nurses, lawyers, judges, politicians, from the wealthy, the middle class, and the poor, Protestant, Jew, atheist, and to be sure, Catholic. Catholic, my friends, and this hurts the most. In 2013, we marked the 50th anniversary of the Second Vatican Council. It was an extraordinary and grace-filled moment in the church. But you see, my friends, some have twisted its message. Some have exchanged its authentic spirit for a personal license to do what they please and call it conscience. To say that each person may freely decide what is right or wrong, merely as his or her conscience determines, is a false teaching. It is a distortion. It might rightly be called heresy, particularly when it's preached by a priest or, God help us, a bishop. Friends, there is no freedom of conscience apart from the truth. The church's teaching and the truth about abortion has not changed. The evil is renewed thousands of times a day as every new life is snuffed out. Its painful destruction is real for that tiny human person beginning to live exactly as each of us began, who is loved by God, who is as dignified as any person and destined for life here and for life eternal. How did we lose sight of this? How did we as a country fail to open our eyes? My friends, this day I thank you for not forgetting. If we are not to forfeit hope, we have to come to the altar. We have to take to the streets, and we must be reminded often. Why? Because our culture, our politics, our media, our laws, have not just forgotten. With a vengeance, they wish to quiet us. But we cannot be silent. As Jesus reminds us in the gospel today, the Spirit of the Lord is upon us. We are the anointed of God, and we are called to go forth as the anointed to proclaim liberty to captives, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord. My friends, while our first act is prayer, and our source of strength is prayer, and our last anthem is prayer, we must also act under the impulse of law and freedom and responsibility. My brothers and sisters, we have the power to change the course of our country. 43 years is too long. We have the obligation to vote in defense of life. We have the obligation to lift up our voices in defense of life. The ancient value and the enduring ideal, the self-evident truth, we are created equal and endowed by our Creator with life. And although at present all is as not as it should be, we must not allow ourselves to be discouraged. God and His divine providence are never overwhelmed or defeated. And so this day and every day, we pray that Almighty God, the author of life, continue to help and sustain all of us as we promote the dignity of life from conception to natural death.